Hey, Project Big Screen listeners, you can find us every Monday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Feeling lucky? You should be. Meet the new Lucky One Sweet Tea from Miss Peaches, the vodka drink that's positively doing good. Made with real tea and real vodka, non-carbonated, 100 calories. And here's the scoop. Their new sweet tea is the only vodka-based sweet tea on the market. Simple ingredients in a smooth, full flavor that makes it taste just like the real sweet tea. Best part? Every can helps rescue dogs find their forever homes as they work to a goal of donating $1 million to dog rescues in 2026. So if you love true sweet tea, this one's a no-brainer. Pick up a Lucky One sweet tea today and give back one can at a time.
To infinity and beyond!
The Lord tells me he can get me out of this mess, but he's pretty sure you're fucked.
That is why you fail.
You can't handle the truth!
Maybe. Maybe not. Maybe fuck yourself.
Say hello to my little friend!
You'll shoot your eye out, kid.
Say what again! Say what again! I dare you! I double dare you, motherfucker! Say what one more goddamn time!
What we've got here is failure to communicate.
Roads? Where we're going, we don't need roads.
Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained?
Welcome to Lights, Camera, Podcast, episode 33. Jeff Lowe, Trill Ballins, Ken Jack. It's our Sunday pod. It's like the chill pod. You know, like the type of radio that you listen to where it has soft jazz and you drink coffee and the steam's coming out of the cup? That's the Sunday podcast.
You ever listen to Delilah at night?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's like the Delilah podcast.
Sleepless in Seattle was based off of something with Delilah.
Ooh. It's a good fun
fact. I'm like 90% sure on that, so might be wrong, but pretty confident. So, it's the start of a new week for movies. Quick note, we changed our schedule up. We will not be reviewing Isle of Dogs this week. We will be reviewing it, but us New York elites did not realize how few people have it outside of like a couple big cities. I thought it was nationwide already because the reviews came out so early, but it's apparently not. So we're going to hold off on reviewing it. We want to review it. It's got great reviews, but we have to wait. So we're just going to be talking about Pacific Rim this week, but we'll carve out maybe 10, 15 minutes to discuss some other movies that we saw. Ken Jack and I saw Death of Stalin, and then I think we're going to see Flower at some point this week. And Trill, if you go see something you haven't seen, we'll chat about those. But for this week, the only main movie you got to see if you want to sync up with us is Pacific Rim Uprising. Very exciting.
I wish GDT was back directing this movie after his Oscar.
Ken Jack and I saw it, and we also wish he was back directing this one. That's all we'll say on that matter. We
had two seen it yet.
Horrible movie theater experiences.
I guess we'll save
them for the pod, but we did tweet about them already. The old lady chewing tobacco behind us, spitting into her small cup was...
Shaw Dogs.
Yeah, that was...
That's hilarious. It was objectively hilarious.
The people who didn't know that Death of Stalin was a comedy and not like a real life, like not a biopic, basically, it was pretty funny when they realized what they were watching.
Did you guys have to go to a special art house cinema for that one?
No, that was at the full. Actually, it was in a bigger theater than what we saw Pacific Rim in.
Yeah, that was wild to me.
Death of Stalin is only playing here at the art house theater, and I'm barred from getting into that theater because I'm not smart enough. I walked by it the other day, and the other movie posters are up, and one of them was what's the dude from Red Eye and Batman? Cillian Murphy. It's like Cillian Murphy and like other British people on a couch. And it looked like some dark British humor type movie. And I'm like, this is the perfect art house movie. That's why I don't go here.
Is Isle of Dogs not there yet?
No, Isle of Dogs isn't in theaters anywhere, like in a 100-mile radius of where I'm at. And I love you guys, but I'm not hopping in the old Toyota driving to see Isle of Dogs.
No, I don't blame you. That's why we're delaying it. So quick note there. If you can see Isle of Dogs this week, great, see it. But just know that we're not going to talk about it yet. Once again, sorry to anyone who saw Pitch Perfect 3 because we didn't review it. Apologies once again. So we're going to be doing some questions this week, some listener questions, because we had a lot left and it's a pretty good discussion. But first, we'll get into some news. This is more of a funny piece of news. Josh Trank, the director of Fantastic Four, the recent Fantastic Four, he removed the movie from his Instagram bio because he put his filmography there. He just like asterisked it out. So I guess this is kind of a question for you guys. If you made a movie so bad, in which he didn't technically, he did finish the movie, but it lost him the Boba Fett movie. He trashed it. He said the studio ruined his movie. If you had an awful movie considered one of the worst of not just the year, but of the last decade, would you A, leave it up, B, scrub it, but like put asterisks there so there's still something that kind of notes you did it, or C, just never talk about it or speak about it ever again?
It's got to be C. You can't take a movie back. Like once you made a movie and you've opened up that jar can't be resealed. I don't agree with taking it out of your filmography or disowning it because the movie got made, you agreed to do it. I don't care what the studio did to your movie. They do that all the time with a bunch of other movies. And it's the Fantastic Four. You knew what was going to happen. Has there ever been a good Fantastic Four movie?
No.
It's only two, right?
Or media property. Who likes the Fantastic Four? I don't.
No one.
Jeff, do you like the Fantastic Four?
No, there's been three of them. But you're right, Ken Jack, in terms of two, because there's been two different, I guess, versions. There's the Jessica Alba version, and then there's the Michael B. I don't know why I singled them out. The Michael B. Jordan version. The Jessica Alba version had the first, and then had Silver Surfer, who is an awesome Marvel character and who's been kind of teased as someone that might show up in the MCU soon, but yeah, there's been three and all three have not been great.
I mean, yeah. I understand being salty at it. Kenchek, what are your thoughts to this revelation?
I think if I had any sort of technical direction in it, for example, if I was an animator in an emoji movie, I wouldn't care. I'd put it in there. I'd be proud of it because it, from a technical standpoint, didn't look bad. But if I had any sort of creative direction on it, I wouldn't be bragging about it in my Instagram bio. That's where the Patreon goes.
It's kind of like this. Isn't it kind of like the Streisand effect, though? By removing the Fantastic Four from his bio, it just got him more attention that he was the guy who actually directed Fantastic Four. And so now when anyone Googles your name, the first thing they see in news and maybe the first thing they see in the search results will be Josh Trask or Trank or whatever directed Trank.
I mean, yeah, that's exactly what happened. I mean, yes, when somebody talks about Fantastic Four or the Boba Fett movie that technically is kind of canceled, his name comes up. But how often do you talk about those two things? So now he just put himself back in the news for that sense. So I don't know. Josh Trank, he's the one that directed that movie, the superhero movie. It was the found footage superhero movie of the teenagers.
But I like that. A Chronicle?
Oh, yeah.
I like Chronicle. That was written by Max Landis, I think.
That's what got him the movie. He got Fantastic Four and Boba Fett because of Chronicle.
Mm.
And then he lost Boba Fett because of Fantastic Four.
That fucking sucks.
I kind of feel bad for him, but on the other hand, maybe you're kind of the reason the Fantastic Four sucked. Like, you know, I know you say the studio like did this one direction, but like you also maybe made that movie suck, dude. Like, I'm sorry.
I agree. That's a great question for whenever we maybe talk to a director or a writer, producer. How much can a studio make a movie worse? Because I do believe to an extent a studio can make a movie worse. I think that's what happened with Justice League.
If you're a studio, you can ruin another studio's movie by refusing to shave off a mustache of a key actor.
That's very true.
Baller movie.
Very, very true. Okay, so that's Josh Trank. He redacted it from his bio. If you haven't seen Fantastic Four, then don't go see it.
Don't go see it. Hey, I feel bad for the guy, though. Maybe he deserves a second chance, and I think he should get a second chance.
Oh, anyone does.
Give him the Boba Fett movie. I guarantee a Boba Fett movie in any form will be better than the Han Solo movie.
Ooh, that's a big guarantee.
But then again, I don't know. I take that back. I take that back.
We may never see that.
No, I take that back.
That's a risky,
like the John Cena movie.
Yeah, it's a risky hot take, but it's one that could pay off because if they never make the Boba Fett movie, then you know you can always hold that over. Like, well, it would have been.
There's no way they're not going to make a Boba Fett movie.
At some point.
Yeah. At some point, you got to make a Boba Fett movie. And it's going to suck because Boba Fett has, what, 4 lines of dialogue in the original trilogy?
If that.
You're going to expand on his character a little more in the time you find out he was, like, a clone to the time he got the carbonite, like, what, he finds his helmet, his Mandalorian armor?
It was so many little, like, so few lines that they changed his voice when they came back and redid the special edition movies because they gave him the voice of the actor from the Clone Wars or the Attack of the Clones and Revenge of the Sith. Yeah.
God, it's fun stuff. So stupid.
So silly. Okay. Moving on. Another movie franchise that is now going to have two editions of their movie, Scarface. The remake gets a new writer. And yeah, I guess my question with this is, why is this movie happening? I think we may have discussed this very briefly once again, but why are they making Scarface again? Why remake that?
Why make another Scarface movie? Money. Is it going to be good? I don't know. Probably not. I can't think of any other reason to do it. Why make a movie in general? Money. But they don't need to make this movie. And the original Scarface, not that good.
Just it's just well known for some things. I'm sure some people really love it. It's fine for me.
Oh, it's a good movie, but it's like not that good. It's an iconic character. It's an iconic,
there it is.
You know, portrayal by Pacino. But I don't know. The rest of the movie is. I just love like the montage scenes with the 80s music playing.
Take it to the limit. That's in that, right? I don't remember.
Yeah, would you say take it to the limit?
Isn't that the
take
song?
It to the limit?
Push it to the limit.
Push it to the limit. Oh, yeah.
Sorry.
Get Ross sampled that one.
I know. I just like going after Ken Jack and music because our listeners asked us about music the other day on Reddit. Like, can you guys do a music podcast one day? And I don't know. I don't listen to enough music anymore. Ken Jack doesn't like music. Kendrick is the dad from Footloose.
I don't hate music. I just don't listen to it. That dad hated music. Just fucking hated it. How do you pronounce the guy's name? Antoine Fuqua? I have no idea. But he's a good director. So he did Training Day, Tears of the Sun. Tears of the Sun, very underrated movie, by the way. He did Shooter, Equalizer, and Southpaw. So he has the skills to make a crime drama like Scarface, but why does it have to be Scarface? There's been like a bunch of media, too, also already about cocaine cartels that have been out recently. Like, I feel like I have a lot of fatigue with cocaine cartels, even just Escobar. There's like Narcos, Loving Pablo, American Made. Like, that's just in the last 2 years. Medellin, so I'm just like, Medellin and his entourage. I'm just like, I'm fatigued on the subject. So I think if you have a director like him that's willing to make a new crime movie, do something different or more original instead of touching on an old property.
Well, but the old property is like the default. This movie is going to make at least $100 million. I don't know what that number would be. The
but
interest
I don't think
that's
been his MO, right? At least I don't think it'd be another phenomenal.
Maybe not. Maybe they're just throwing him a whole bunch of money to make this movie. I don't know. It just seems like I guess I didn't love the original Scarface, so I don't think I'll love this. But it could be a good movie. I mean, I think folks could enjoy this movie if they like the original Scarface. A remake might be interesting. But it gets back to the point of what people complain about with Hollywood to begin with, or at least in the last 10 years, everything's a sequel or a remake. And it's like this recapitulating cycle where we've seen stuff like Get Out. We've seen original ideas come out and actually do pretty successful. It seems like it's about time to start breaking this cycle where we have all these remakes and just take some chances.
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly.
It rolls into the thing that's wrong with Hollywood in that it doesn't need to be remade.
Okay, here's how I feel about this movie. I could take two people and both are very convincing people, and one can tell me this is going to suck and one can tell me this is going to be good. And the last person I talk to on this topic, that's going to be my opinion of this movie, because I can go either way and I'm easily influenced. Ooh, do you think when a new movie comes out, they'll remake the poster? Because the poster is one of the more iconic things. Bing, there's that word again. Ooh. About Scarface. But it is actually iconic. It's like in every college dorm. Yeah.
It's up there with the Boondock Saints posters.
It's up there with the Boondock Saints and the Jim Belushi college photo and like a blacklight poster of Bob Marley or something like that. What posters did you guys have in your freshman college dorm room?
I had the blacklight Bob Marley. I had it. I never even listened to him, man. It was really bad. I just went shopping at like Target or something and I just saw it and I was like, yeah, people will like me more if they think I listen to fucking like 30-year-old reggae music, I guess. It was so stupid. Then I think I had an Irish flag and then like, which is so stupid. I'm like fucking 20% Irish, some asshole. Like, it's such a dick move. And then I had a chart of different mixed drinks with different what alcohol was in them. Dude, <that's laughs> such an asshole.
Your RA Jared would come by and be like, hope you guys aren't mixing these drinks in the dorms. I'm going to have to write you up. No, seriously, guys. I hope you're not
don't
drinking.
Don't do it, please.
My RA's name was Jared, but we didn't like him. So
such an RA name.
We didn't like him, so everyone on our floor called him Ned. He just came over and be like, hey, guys, can be quite like, okay, Ned. And then actually there was one night, one guy down our hall, this freshman year, he got just absolutely trashed and threw an entire salad at his door. Great, great dorm floor. Some pretty good memories. I had The Hangover and I had a LeBron poster.
Damn, God, you guys are young. I mean, I could have had a LeBron poster too because my freshman year in college was his first year in the league, but it would have been a much younger poster. This is even worse than your guys's. It was a big Beatles Abbey Road poster. Because I was into that like 18, 19 year old phase, like, oh, music isn't good these days, man. I love the classic shit. And so I'm like, when people walk into my room, when my fellow freshmen walk into my room, they will know my taste in music is fucking awesome.
How'd that work out?
They just never came into my room. Because like that's that dude with the fucking old dudes poster. That's weird.
Fuck, dude. I'm thinking about what I had in my freshman room in general. It's just makes one of fucking.
I like the mixed drinks one. The mixed drink one is one that we always forget whenever, because I feel like we've referenced this before, but whenever we reference it, we forget the mixed drinks poster. That's a popular one.
Plus, you never really mix a drink your first year of college.
I didn't make any of them.
It's either out of a giant Gatorade cooler in some frat house basement, or it's from a bottle, or it's a Natty or Keystone Light, depending on where you go to school.
I drank Natty Light exclusively through the entire first year of college. I don't think I ever had anything other than that. So I don't know why I needed a fucking mixed drink poster. Fucking asshole 19-year-old Ken Jack.
Yeah. We used to get bagged wine, boxed wine, I guess, and rip the bag out and put it in the freezer and separate the alcohol from the wine content and just drink that alcohol. I don't know why we did that. Why didn't we just buy a bottle of Everclear? I don't know, guys. I wasn't smart. Let's move on.
Moving on to Marvel. The Marvel Infinity War Death Pool is now open. You can now participate in the Death Pool. We're doing it in conjunction with the Weekly Planet. James, Mr. Sunday Movies, who's been on the podcast twice, and Mason, his co-host, we're all going to be doing it. I think they're going to be announcing on their podcast as well, the Weekly Planet. So you can go in there now and you can pick your four. So you pick four different Avengers, and you, I guess, just figure out who you think is going to die. It's basically a sports parlay. You're picking the four you think are most likely to die, but you also have to kind of go in there and pick based on odds, because if you pick the four easiest, then yeah, you may win. But if someone else has three of your four easy ones and then has one with, you know, higher odds, they're going to win. So you can go read the rules. It's going to be in the description below during the, like, on this podcast you're listening to, and then it'll be on our Twitter as well. So you can definitely find it there, or you can go to bit.ly/ Marvel Death Pool. So pretty excited about this one. We'll do them as well, but obviously we can't win. You know, you can't win your own pool. That doesn't make any sense. So I'm excited for this one. Do you have any early favorites where you think might die? This is like a gambling podcast now. You got to give your one free pick.
I mean, it kind of ties into the next topic of conversation on our docket, doesn't it?
We'll just say, so Chris Evans is apparently going to be done with Avengers after Avengers 4. So
I feel like Cap is going to die, but I'm also big on your theory that Cap will come back in the next one and then die again. So die twice. I think he's going to die, man. That makes the most sense.
Yeah, I agree with you. That's my spider lock of the week is Captain America's ass is dead.
Stone Cold lock of the week of the month of the day.
So we'll go with the top eight. This is the best odds at dying. +250, Captain America, Iron Man, Loki. +425, Heimdall, Pepper Potts, Vision. And then +450, Hawkeye and War Machine. So again, you can go in there now. You can pick. You got to pick four. And then there's a tiebreaker question. How many total deaths will there be? So, yeah, you can pick the ones that you think have a good shot. But Spider-Man's +1250. You know, Valkyrie might die. Gamora. Thor's up there, 1250. So it's fun. Just, you know, it's a little puzzle. And if you haven't gambled before or done sports parlays, then, you know, I guess this is your first dabble in it.
I want Hawkeye to stick around if Jeremy Renner just played his character from Wind River as Hawkeye. because he's a really good sniper shooter in that movie. And that movie really turned me around on Jeremy Ritter. Jeremy Renner. I keep saying Jeremy Ritter. Rest in peace, John Ritter. Jeremy Renner. I was on the fence on Jeremy Renner, and I loved him in Wind River so much that I only want to see him playing that type of character the rest of his career. So maybe Hawkeye might die, but also maybe keep Hawkeye on and just have him be like that.
Just a Wyoming coyote hunter from now on. Just alter the canon to make it that. I don't mind that. Let's do it. That's cross universes. Even though Wind River is sort of completed, you have Elizabeth Olsen already in the Avengers and also Wind River. So why not?
I think Loki is maybe the best Stone Cold lock there is.
To die?
Yeah, Loki's story has completely run out at this point, I think. Loki's demise is near. For mine, I'm picking Loki.
Loki's the fucking Magneto of Marvel. He's so fucking annoying. Every single movie, just switching sides to like going from good to evil, evil to good. Like, pick a side, bitch.
I could see him redeeming himself and finally doing something that's like ends with him being good and not like, oh, he still may go bad. I think he may do one more good thing or just get pulverized right away and die before he can even do that.
Oh, if he dies, he will definitely have redeemed himself to the audience.
So basically just Thor 2, where he dies, but he didn't actually die for Asgard.
So that's the Avengers Infinity War Death Pool. Again, bit.ly/Marvel Death Pool. It's in the description below, so you can just click that link. You get one shot at this. You got to put your email down. You get one chance. The biggest rule that I'll say right here, there's a lot of rules. There's 9 steps. You can read them so you don't screw this up. But you cannot pick the same hero/villain twice. If you do that, it's canceled out. And one of the first 5 responses we got, somebody did that. They picked Captain America twice. So I'm sorry. If you do that, you're out. Just keep that in mind. And you have to pick 4, obviously. You can just pick 3.
If you win both the movie fantasy league and the death pool, I will buy an autograph. I will buy a mask replica from eBay and autograph it and send it to you.
Ooh. Which, by the way, we're going to have an update on that in this week's podcast. I finally fixed the spreadsheet for that, and these movies are finally starting to leave theaters where we can have a final total. So we'll have an update on that later in the week. And then we may try to figure something out with Fantasy Movie League, the actual app, and start that up. This Marvel Death Pool, Avengers Death Pool, whatever, is much easier for us to handle than the other one we did. That was that was poorly set up, the Fantasy Movie League. All credit to me on that one. So that's the Infinity War Death Pool. Link is in the description. Please join in. It's going to be a lot of fun on that one. Last bit of news before we get into questions. This was basically a question in itself because it's probably very controversial and will make a little more noise throughout the week. But Steven Spielberg says that he thinks Netflix movies should be up for Emmys and not Oscars. That is a very hot take. Especially coming from, of all people, Steven Spielberg, one of the most famous directors of all time.
Why does he care so much about that? That's the weirdest part to me.
It's beneath him.
Like, I guess, yeah. Is he thinking like Netflix movies solely the art form? And I guess the Netflix movies haven't been great to the point where I see any of them winning an Oscar. But Mudbound. I'm sorry,
Mudbound
was up there. Yeah, my bad. Then I completely disagree with that because Mudbound deserve to be nominated for Best Picture. So I think, Ken Jack, you're right. That's a little bit of elitism on Spielberg's point. It goes back to a lot of, I guess, the perception of like what a movie should be, and you need to see it in a theater, but that's just not the way technology is running these days. I mean, that's not the way it's going, and they're going to have to adapt to that. And that would just be a horrible business decision, I think, to exclude things like Netflix, which make movies more accessible for a lot of people, than say, no, they're up for Emmys. Like, and why even an Emmy? It's a movie. Like, are you saying it's a TV movie? You classify Netflix as just TV because it's on a TV? I disagree. This is making me so mad. Spielberg,
well, it's funny because you need to quit. You say you're watching Netflix, but you can say like, oh, I'm watching TV. What are you watching? I'm watching this on Netflix. Like, I was talking to my dad about this last night. And he's like, no, it was actually not my dad. Sorry, dad. I was trying to give you credit there. I was talking to a friend of mine who I said to, I'm like, no, I don't have much time for TV. He's like, well, Netflix isn't TV. It's Netflix. I'm like, oh, that's I guess, an okay point. He was like kind of joking around, but that's the thing. Like, I don't know how you can define Netflix as strictly TV. It doesn't make much sense. And where are you going to even put that? I guess the TV movie category, but then that's not fair to TV movies, because TV movies, the budgets are nowhere near what like Bright has or whatever the Scorsese movie is going to have. I mean, that movie budget has to be huge. Yeah, I like Steven Spielberg a lot. I hope Ready Player One is great. Hard, hard disagree on that one.
Yeah, I disagree too, especially because Netflix original movies are worthy of Oscar love. Like Mudbound, Okja, The Fundamentals of Caring, Icarus, like that all comes to mind for me, and they're all great movies.
I would like to apologize for saying Netflix movies haven't been good, because Ken Jack just rattled off a list of good movies. Yeah, I look, content, the way we define content, the lines have always been pretty clear, and the technology we operate under these days have blurred those lines. And I think a lot of people are uncomfortable with that, because like you're saying, movies have always been over TV as this more prestigious vehicle, but you have seen more movie actors, Reese Witherspoon, Nicole Kidman, star in awesome TV shows. Like, I forget the name of that one that was on HBO, but that one. And so they're going to have to get over that. And I don't think they'll ever do that. I think that'd be a horrible business decision. But yeah, way to pat yourself on the back, Spielberg, as you make your movie about, you know, E.T. fucking riding the radio flyer into a battle with King Kong. Come on the pod. I'm sorry. I love you, Spielberg. I'm sorry. I got mad because that was a bad, you're a great director, but that was a bad opinion. That was a bad take.
Well, Spielberg, Ready Player One, we will be reviewing that next week, which I'm very excited for. But yeah, I don't agree with old Steve right there on that one. But hey, we're all open for bad takes from time to time, so it's okay.
Yeah, what about Jaws 2? What about Jaws 2, huh? That should have been on TV, bro. Hey, what about the Universal Studios Jaws ride? Does that deserve an Emmy? Yeah, think about that one, Steve. Can I call you Steve?
You're in the junket chair. He's just looking at you like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
why is this nobody challenging my authority?
So that's news. But now we got to answer some questions from the listeners. We have a lot of questions. A lot from just the two times we've called out for them. So again, we appreciate the input you guys have in wanting to hear from us about movies and other related topics. But the first question technically was not submitted in our questions mailbag Google form. This was tweeted at us no less than 10 times, and that's not an exaggeration. I mean, I probably up to 20 times at this point. Why did you guys not have Super Troopers in your top 15 for comedy rankings? We had to answer this question so many times on Twitter, or at least I did, because I felt like I had to speak for all three of us. And I'll just start it out and say I don't dislike Super Troopers. Super Troopers was a part of the 30 or so movies that I was going to try and rank in my top 15, and it just missed the cut. It was 20-something. I think it might have been like 25, 24. So, no, I don't dislike Super Troopers. I don't think any of the three of us dislike Super Troopers. But, hey, again, the listeners, you didn't put it at 15 either. It was outside of your top 15. So, again, funny movie, but it showed how strong that span of 10 years was for comedies. Funny movie, but just wasn't in my top 15.
My answer is it's not in my top 15 because I like the 15 movies I put in my top 15 more than Super Troopers.
Yeah. Same exact reason. It's just it's not my top 15. The humor is just not as revisible as people think it is. I think what the problem is here, the discrepancy between us and them. And the viewers didn't put in their top 15 either. That should be the end of the conversation right there. Like, it's not like we had some huge gap. We were in line with the listeners for the most part.
I just preferred the cerebral, more thoughtful humor of something like Team America World Police to something like Super Troopers. But the problem is whenever you make a list, it's like there are going to be things you like more than that. And leaving it off your list doesn't mean it's in a void. It just means it's not on the list.
It missed the listeners list by, it looks like, 7.58% of the vote. It was off about 3 or 4 spots. So again, you know, they liked it. You guys liked it, but just didn't quite make the top 15. Nothing wrong with that. No hate. That was a tough thing about that podcast, is that just because it wasn't on our list doesn't mean we didn't dislike it. It's a very funny movie, but it just didn't have a spot in our top 15.
I mean, so there's your answer. I left Wedding Crashers off my list, and I liked Wedding Crashers more than Super Troopers.
Yeah, same here.
I left Pineapple Express off my list, and I think I like Pineapple Express more than Super Troopers. So,
same.
I know. I, whatever. I understand, though, because that is a movie that a segment of people really, really love. And then the rest of everybody else is kind of like, yeah, it was a good movie.
Broken Lizard movies in general, I think, aren't so easy to revisit now. We were talking about Beer Fest in the last episode. That was a rough one. The salmon one or whatever, that restaurant one, wasn't so funny. Going back to it, they're all great. Or they're all still funny, but it's just, it's not as funny as it was when we first had seen them.
So Super Troopers, not in our top 15. A lot of people wanted to know why. Those are your answers. Yeah. Yeah. Next question. What are some Hollywood trends that you either are a fan of or alternatively that you are not a fan of?
Ooh, that's a really great question. It's hard to say what I'm a fan of right now because I don't really know if we're in a trend when we're actually in a trend. It's easier to look back on a time, a period that has seemingly ended. Something I wasn't a fan of that it seems like we're getting away are like super serious reboots or super gritty takes on properties. And I think that was brought on by The Dark Knight and how well that did and what they did with Batman. But I also think that's like another reason they tried to do that with the Justice League in the DC movies and make them too serious. And that's why they failed. And I feel like people kind of want to get away from that.
I think that movies are being more unapologetic in their subject matter. And I'm enjoying that a lot recently. One thing I'm disliking is part of what you were mentioning, Trill, the reboot culture. It works in a lot of movies. Like Blade Runner was one of my favorite movies of the year last year. Jeff was your favorite movie of the year. But there's so many original ideas out there that I think Hollywood just isn't giving a chance to because they just want to make money and they know what sells. So instead of taking a chance on something original, they're just like, well, let's just fucking reboot Scarface because it'll make like $400 million.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at. It's, for me, the remaking of movies that are still culturally significant. Not even just iconic at that point. Like, we called Scarface iconic because it is, whether it's a movie you think is great or just okay. But things that are culturally relevant, like, you just can't do that. Like, because it ruins what the original did. You know, I don't want people to watch the new Karate Kid movie and think that that's the Karate Kid. I don't want people to watch the new Scarface and think that's Scarface. I don't want remakes like that. Now, if a movie has no cultural significance and isn't famous or popular, then yeah, go ahead and remake it, I guess, if you have no other ideas. That and cinematic universes being force-made, or not, I don't know if that's the right terminology, but forcing the making of a cinematic universe, I'll put it that way. You know, let it develop. If you want to do a cinematic universe, let it develop. Take your time, have patience. That's why Marvel worked out. Don't try to force it down our throats immediately and try to have it work within a year or two. It's just not going to. You got to be patient with it. And obviously that's going to be very hard to replicate what Marvel did, but I don't like that trend at all. And I'm, on the other hand, a huge fan of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, but if you're going to do it, you have to have patience. You have to be smart about it.
Yeah. I think something I really like also as a trend, are more shots of man-ass, like in The Disaster Artist. And, you know, yeah, I think you had some in like Forgetting Sarah Marshall and whatever. Like, yeah, it's about time.
Yeah. More man ass shots.
It's our time, Kings.
Yeah, get those, you know, just get them on screen. I think it's funny. Like, it's funny to use nudity as a comedic device in these movies instead of like some super serious or over the top sex scene.
Next question is about Ryan Gosling, the Goss God. What are your top three Gosling roles? I'll rattle mine off quick. La La Land, Drive, and Crazy Stupid Love. Which I feel like are really cliche picks, but
I like Drive, La La Land, and Blade Runner as mine.
Yeah, I was going to say, mine's the same exact one as yours, except I like Blade Runner first, then Drive, then La La Land.
Honorable mention to The Nice Guys, too.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Nice Guys is pretty good. I may replace Crazy Stupid Love with The Nice Guys.
What do you like about, like, The Place Between the Pines, whatever that movie was?
I like that movie.
Yeah, it was good.
It wasn't bad.
You did a good job on that one, I thought. He was kind of in it for like half the movie, though, right? It was like a quarter of the movie or something like that.
I told somebody to watch Cabin in the Woods once. I said it was a really funny horror movie, and they watched Place Between the Pines. I was like, that's very similar movie title, but no, not the same movie. That's our top Goss God roles. Best or most entertaining bad movie of all time? What's your pick? Best or most entertaining bad movie?
I think my favorite best movie of all time is Encino Man. It's just not a good movie, but every time I watch it, I love I love Pauly Shore. I love Brendan Fraser, and I love Samwise Gamgee. Oh, and when he finds Encino Lady at the end, that was good as well.
For me, that's tough. That's really tough. I think if you really want to get bad, like talk about a bad movie, entertaining bad, like we're looking at Battlefield Earth. Like, and I'm thinking bad. Triple X is up there. I'm trying to think of some other ones. Those are pretty close. Batman and Robin, entertainingly bad. Wild Wild West, Godzilla.
Oh, that's so bad.
Wild Wild West stunk. Entertaining.
I don't even know if that's entertaining.
It's mildly entertaining for me. I would have to go Battlefield Earth. That is the most entertaining bad movie for me. You could also say The Room, because technically, if you want an entertaining bad movie, that is what The Room is. That's why The Room is so popular.
Yeah, and I didn't want to say that because that seems like the cliche pick now. Because now that everybody knows what The Room is or was, that's going to be their go-to. But before last year, Jeff, that was probably your answer until it got mainstream. You're like probably, movie hipster.
That's a good point. Yeah. I'm glad that we noted that, but also had other picks. Which movie character do you think has the most punchable face? The movie Peeta character from the you Hunger want to punch Games. The most. PETA? Okay.
No, yeah. I don't even think for that question. It's PETA for sure.
Paul Dano, There Will Be Blood. Whatever his name was, Paul Sunday or something. Fuck that guy.
The best part about PETA was they knew he had a punchable face, so they gave him a bit of a remake or a makeover for the second movie. They like gave him a new haircut, yeah, slicked him up a little bit. So he was less punchable in Catching Fire than he was in the first one.
I agree. I don't know what it is, because I love the actor. I love Josh, my boy Josh. Did great in The Disaster Artist. But that role, that PETA role specifically, that character is just so cringy to me.
I think Paul Dano is worse still. He made me so mad in that movie. I was so happy when he got fucking bludgeoned.
Yeah, I think you could divide this question into two parts, like punchable in terms of characters you hate and punchable in terms of characters that annoy you.
I straight up hated his character in that. Also, his character in 12 Years a Slave was very punchable too.
That's tough for me. That's a really hard question for me. But all I can think about is the X-Men universe. It would probably be somebody in the X-Men universe that I would want to punch.
Fucking Dominic Mahanigan or whatever his name is, the electrical mutant in Origins.
There's so many punchable characters. You know who has got a punchable character face is the kid that plays Green Goblin, Dane DeHaan, in the Amazing Spider-Man movies.
Oh, yeah. Even going back in the Spider-Man universe, Tobey Maguire has to be there as well.
Yeah. Good pick.
Player X. I like PETA, as he's referred to.
PETA, you win there. That's a good reference to Molly's Game. Yeah, nice one.
Everybody likes my references.
By the way, when Ken, Jack, and I went to the movies this week, all of the signage in the theaters were basically for Molly's Game and The Greatest Showman. Time to get those down. Time to get some new movies up there.
Especially The Greatest Showman.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah. Not so long ago.
You know what? I rewatched The Greatest Showman, and I think I like it now.
Shut up, dude. We're not doing
I like this
today.
Question a lot. This is a really good question, because I feel like this question, had we talked about it a year ago, people would have said Kendrick Lamar, and go figure, he makes the Black Panther soundtrack. Which modern-day musical artist who has yet to do a movie soundtrack would you like to see do a movie soundtrack? That's difficult. Kenjack, do you know enough artists to answer this question?
I got no idea, man. I don't. There's no artist that comes off the top of my head that makes me think, oh, fuck yeah, I want to see him do a soundtrack. It's not my, I don't know, area of expertise, obviously.
I'd love to see Donald Glover do something with a movie soundtrack. I don't know what movie, but I loved his last album. I think he could make like a really good aural experience.
I feel like, and I'm not a huge like Bruno Mars fan. I know people love Bruno Mars, but his type of music or something for a heist movie. I don't know what it is about that, but like I feel like 24K Magic, or is that what it is? Is that the name of the song? I always mess that one up. That one I could totally see in like some sort of Vegas heist scene when they're landing at the, you know, they're getting up to the strip, you know, the plane's landing in Vegas. I feel like something of like a heist movie with Bruno Mars. And I bet there's a Bruno Mars song in Ocean's 8. Lock that in. That's a guarantee right there.
I would love to see more sequels to The Fault in Our Stars with Ed Sheeran doing all the music.
The Fault in Our Stars cinematic universe.
Yeah. Fuck yeah, dude. Why not?
The continued Fault in Our Stars.
That's a good question. That's a tough question. I feel like we need more time to think about that one. That's a really hard one. Because it's funny, because I feel like, again, if we would have been asked that question, I would have said Kendrick Lamar. I'd like to see Kanye do a movie, obviously. That'd be like a really interesting cherry on top of his career, if he were to like have this the soundtrack for a movie.
Yeah, dude, I feel like he could do a DreamWorks soundtrack or something like that. Like something you wouldn't expect Kanye would do, but he's like locked on for like the Penguins of Madagascar 8. It's Shrek like when Jack White did some Coca-Cola commercial in Japan or something in like 2006 or 2007. It was like just a real subversive thing. I feel like Kanye would do that. Kanye would just, that's why I love him so much. He's just like, okay, yeah, I'm doing this.
You know, it's a little revolutionary, maybe. Why not bring Elton John into the Kingsman universe? That might be really cool. Or it might be very fucking annoying. I don't know. We'll figure it out as we go.
Speaking, though, of Jack White, I really loved his Quantum of Solace song, even though that movie wasn't great. I thought that was one of the better Bond songs.
Don't people hate that one?
I liked it. I think people hated it. It was Jack White and Alicia Keys.
It's a weird combo.
And Jack White was in Cold Mountain. Jack White was in Cold Mountain too as an actor. And he also, yeah, I think so. And I think Jack White was also in Walk Hard as Elvis. Just dropping some knowledge. Yeah, verify.
Bombs.
Just do a little, hey, Stat Boy, do a little check there.
Yeah. Good call. Yeah, he is in it. He plays Georgia. I don't know who the fuck that was in Cold Mountain.
Mm.
Again, good question. If you could have any artist do a soundtrack for a movie, who would it be? That might be a good Twitter question. Let's see what answers we get. All right. How about this one? Best buddy cop movies / franchises. What's your favorite buddy cop movie or franchise? Mine is 22 Jump Street / 21. I know I said 22 first. The 21 Jump Street movies, those are my two favorite buddy cop movies, easily.
I mean, you got to mention Lethal Weapon here. I don't know if they're my favorite, but that's the first one that comes to mind.
That's the defining buddy cop movie, right? That's like the singular buddy cop movie that comes to mind, I feel like.
I'm trying to go with like straight up buddy cop and not just buddy cop parody. And while I do respect Jeff's answer, it was that was why 21 Jump Street worked so well, is because it was a parody of that style of movie.
Yeah, I would say either Lethal Weapon, maybe Bad Boys, or even Nice Guys. I don't know. Fuck yeah, dude. Turner Hooch is great.
Yeah, it's a buddy cop movie, but get this, guys. One of the cops is a dog.
Is dog. Great Tom Hanks role.
What are some other like buddy cop movies? Like, help me think through this one. Arnold Schwarzenegger, was he in any buddy cops? I mean, he was in Junior with Danny DeVito, but I don't think that was a buddy cop role. He was in Throw Mama from the Train was that with Danny DeVito as well? Or that was a Joe Pesci, I think.
How about
Bad Boys? Kovac?
Yeah, I like Bad Boys.
Yeah.
The Nice Guys is technically a buddy cop movie.
But I'm thinking more like buddy cop franchises, you know? Like
Bad Lethal Boys? Weapon.
Yeah, that's a franchise, so that counts. But I think I like Lethal Weapon more than Bad Boys. I like those first two.
I know Trill's favorites. I know your two favorites, Trill.
Wait, they're not even coming to my mind yet?
Cop Out with Bruce Willis and Tracy Morgan.
Uh-huh.
And the Ride Along franchise with Kevin Hart and Ice Cube.
Fuck, dude. I was just thinking about that.
Actually, I do kind of like the Ride Along. I like the Ride Along more than Cop Out. Cop Out was a Kevin Smith movie.
What about Central Intelligence?
I did like Central Intelligence. I like that better than the Ride Along, I think.
Well, yeah, because The Rock's in it.
But I love Kevin Hart in that movie, too. Kevin Hart played more of the straight man in Central Intelligence. Yeah, like the straight man in comic terms is the guy.
I know, I'm fucking with you.
He wasn't as much the comedian, you know. The Rock had kind of the funnier role, which is rare for Kevin Hart because that's almost. I mean, there's literally a Nike commercial right now where Kevin Hart is the comedic relief in the Nike commercial.
It was just nice to see The Rock not have to be so serious, and now he's in this role of super serious movies with like Rampage and I mean, Jumanji doesn't count because that was actually pretty funny, but Rampage is probably going to be kind of serious. And then the Blazing and Towering Inferno 2018 looks super serious.
He's trying to win that Oscar at some point. He's going to go with a really big Oscar movie at some point. That is one of my locks in terms of movie predictions, is that The Rock will be in a movie where he tries and wins an Oscar. Deservedly so. He's in everything. He should try and
win an Oscar. Oh, he's so fucking talented. There's no doubt if he got attached to the right project, he can win an Oscar. He should do a wrestling movie, like The Wrestler 2.
I was just thinking
super
that, yeah.
Serious wrestling movie.
A documentary about The Rock's life would probably win an Oscar. Like a really gritty documentary about his day-to-day routines, like how he eats, how he works out, all of that.
Yeah.
I'd love to see a documentary about that.
I think The Rock could actually make a really good movie where he plays his dad, Rocky Johnson Sr., that is about the struggles of that wrestling circuit in like the 70s and 80s before wrestling really, really blew up in the mid 80s to late 80s with Hulk Hogan, because that's a tough lifestyle. I still think being a wrestler is tough. You're on the road so much, but it's a little more glamorous these days. That would be a pretty good, interesting movie, I think. And I could see him maybe playing his dad. Hell, man. I would like to announce I am working on my first screenplay.
You're leaving us. That's fine. Hey, go make your movie. Next question is about food, which we're recording this around dinner time, so this will make me even hungrier. What is the most mouthwatering food scene in cinema history for you?
Three come to mind for me. The sandwiches and Chef, the Cubanos. Amazing. The steak in The Matrix that Cypher eats.
Yes.
And then he
complains about it.
Yeah. That every single time he eats that steak, it makes me, I don't eat steak too often, but it makes me want steak. And also the ending of Harold and Kumar. I don't need White Castle ever. Every time the ending scene in Harold and Kumar, I see it, which is maybe twice in my entire life, I've really wanted fast food hamburgers.
This is cliche, but that Ratatouille at the end of Ratatouille looks good as hell. And so just because I would never take the time to arrange Ratatouille that way. How enticing, dude, is that Ratatouille? It's like perfectly lined up, circularized, blah, blah, whatever.
Dude, the rat's not going to fuck you. It's a cartoon. Compliment it all you want. It's not going to happen.
Man, I don't know. It might.
Ken Jack, your three are probably three of the ones I would have picked. The Harold and Kumar one makes me want White Castle. No question. Yeah. I don't dislike White Castle. Like, I'm okay with White Castle. But also, every time I watch Ocean's 11, I get hungry because Rusty is eating in almost every scene, Brad Pitt's character, and he's always got pretty decent-looking food in front of him, like nice, well-prepared meals, or he has like a whole – he's holding like a whole shrimp cocktail in the lobby when he sees Tess walk down the stairs the first time. It always makes me pretty hungry. I do love the Matrix pick, though, because you've heard me rant about the Matrix before on this podcast. I hate the fact that he's like – this steak tastes so good, but I know it's not real. It's like, yeah, well, fuck off. Just eat the steak. You know what?
Yeah.
You don't believe the Matrix. Look at, you got great food in front of you. Just wipe it out of your head. Just eat the damn steak.
What was that movie with Bradley Cooper where he's a chef?
Chef.
That was Chef?
Oh, no.
Chef, that was like, no, it was like Fired Up or something. Like.
Yeah.
Like,
Fired Up's a cheerleading movie, but you're really close.
It was something like that. I remember the food in that movie looking pretty good.
Fuck. I know what you're talking about. Oh, 5-Year Engagement had some good food in it, too.
Burnt. That's what it's called. Burnt.
I like that movie. It didn't do well with critics. It wasn't that great, but I think I saw it on Netflix, and I liked it.
I don't like that movie, especially seeing Chef. Chef is such a superior movie to Burnt. Yeah. Chef is so good. And sorry, I forgot, Kendrick, you said Chef. Everything in Chef looks incredible. They also go to Franklin's Barbecue in Austin, which I've never had because you have to sit outside and wait in line. But Franklin's is incredible. The brisket, the Cubanos, oh, man. That's the definition of mouthwatering right there. That's a tough movie to watch and not want to go eat food. There's actually a YouTube channel I'm going to plug, a free ad here, called Binging with Babish, and he makes food from movies. So he'll just show you how to prepare the actual dish from the movie, and he does the molten lava cake from Chef with Jon Favreau. It's a pretty good YouTube channel.
You ever get that molten lava cake from a Carnival cruise ship? Good, dude. They bring it out to you in that plastic dish with the plastic dish cover. Mm-mm.
Is it any different than Applebee's?
Probably not. Probably comes from Cisco.
You're a cruise guy? I didn't know that.
No, I am not a cruise guy. I've been on cruises before. I think you got to go on at least 1 to 3 cruises And if you're a cruise person, by that point, you'll know. And if you're not a cruise person, you'll never want to go on a fucking cruise ever again.
Huh. Not a cruise.
I've never been. Yeah, never been. I can't go on the water like that. Pirates, man. Don't want any pirates.
Pirates are the most worrying thing for you, dude. You know what the worst, most worrying thing for me is? For that ship to lose power and for everyone to get norovirus and everyone's shitting in the hallways of the ship and they're just pooping on deck and them having to scrub the poop off the deck with a brush like they were doing on that one Carnival ship. Carnival, please sponsor the podcast.
That's the one thing we can slander. I'm okay with slandering cruises.
And they got those shuffleboard things out there. I think people were shitting on the shuffleboard squares. Like just brushing their shit around on the shuffleboard. Like just everyone was pooping on that and vomiting on that ship. It was a nightmare. And you know what they gave everybody? Like a free voucher for another Carnival cruise ship. Good luck with that.
Man, oh man. Here's a question that may roll into our next podcast next week. So not next, but three podcasts from now. Because when you talk about Pierce Brosnan and James Bond, those are some nostalgic childhood movies. Well, at least for me and Ken, Jack. Troll, it's nostalgic for you as well.
Oh, yeah.
Like we were real youngins when the first ones of these came out. Which Pierce Brosnan, and actually the reason I say that is because we're going to rank most important movies of our childhood, along with you, the listeners, when we do Ready Player One, because that's nostalgia of the movie. But which Pierce Brosnan Bond movie was your favorite or is your favorite still?
GoldenEye is the only good one.
Yep.
I would be shocked if 99% of people didn't say GoldenEye because all the other ones weren't that great.
Well, I did go to Ken Jack's apartment once, and he does have a Die Another Day poster hanging up in his bedroom. So he may have a different answer.
I don't even remember. I remember the basic plots. If you did one of those things they do in elementary school where you have to line up like the word apple and orange and banana with the actual pictures on the side of them and draw a line to them, but you did that with the movie posters and the list of the plots for those movies that aren't GoldenEye, I could not fucking do that. I remember one was like a Steve Jobs type media mogul. I remember the other was like North Korea or something like that. But beyond that, I can't fucking tell you.
I think GoldenEye was the best. It's the best video game by far. And it's the best cast behind Die Another Day. Die Another Day, I think, had a better cast. But I still love Sean Bean and also, what's her name, Famke Janssen was in GoldenEye, I believe. She was great as well.
Can you name the four Bonds with Pierce Brosnan?
Fuck no.
Tomorrow Never Dies.
Yep.
GoldenEye, Die Another Day, and I can't name the other one.
I'm surprised you couldn't name this one. I figured Tomorrow Never Dies you wouldn't get. It's The World Is Not Enough.
Oh. Boo.
GoldenEye, the best game, though, easily.
Okay, but have you played GoldenEye recently? It fucking sucks.
Oh, it's clunky. Sure it does.
Oh, it's horrible by today's standards, but it was groundbreaking at the time.
All right, I like this question. This relates to our comedy rankings. Will there ever be another good spoof movie? I say no, but do you guys disagree with that?
I don't want to say never. I think the issue with spoof movies now is spoofs are so immediate and done on the internet so quickly. You think of something like Game of Thrones, and in 2 minute blocks on YouTube, somebody can do a Game of Thrones spoof, and it may not be that good, but spoofs are kind of an itch you need to scratch. Sometimes you need a good spoof, and I feel like you can get your itch scratched just by going to YouTube and watching something. Does that make sense?
It does make sense.
So I think it's like kind of the same thing as Weird Al songs. Like there'll never be another Weird Al song parody guy the same vein just because people do it for free on the internet now. Like if you want to see a Bruno Mars 24 karat magic spoof with like Peter Rabbit singing instead and the Stewie from Family Guy voice, like you can go see that on the internet right away.
I think there's been some good ones in the last few years. You're saying the 21 Jump Street, like universe, not really a spoof movie, but I mean it's in the realm of parody. I think that you could apply it to MacGruber, Pop Star is a spoof movie too, technically, right?
Yeah,
when I think spoof, I'm thinking of something like Robin Hood Men in Tights that was directly preceded by Robin Hood Prince of Thieves. That's just like Mel Brooks. Just like Spaceballs, which is like a movie and then they make a spoof movie based on another movie, and it brings a lot of references from other things in there. That's like what I'm thinking with like a spoof movie. So maybe 21 Jump Street, that's more of like a genre spoof. I'm thinking of just like a Loaded Gun type of spoof movie.
So like Scary Movie wouldn't count? because it's not a direct parody of a singular movie.
Nah, I mean, I think that counts. I think my definition is nebulous, and you have called that out and correctly assessed it. But I don't, they're not really making scary movies anymore. And if those people are still making movies like that, they're definitely not getting released in theaters. So, yeah. I mean, yeah, 21 Jump Street was like maybe an outlier and a spoof in its own right, but it had so much other things going for it rather than just like the pure premise of a spoof.
The problem was is that they thought the formula of scary movie was such a success they could just continue to replicate it, and then they continued to replicate it with even less and less money put into it, and then they became spoofs of themselves basically, and that's when you got Disaster Movie, Date Movie, Epic Movie, The Starving Games, and it's just it became a joke. It became a character of itself, of a character of itself, basically. Like, it was just ridiculous.
The spoof cycle window has closed so rapidly, whereas they can make a movie within 2 years and it may seem recent. But if you make a 2-year reference in 2018, like if you release a movie in 2020 that's making fun of movies released in 2018, those things are going to be so outdated.
Yeah.
Even more so than the past.
Yeah, not another teen movie, scary movie. When I think spoof movies, I think of those. Also, I want to know, I did say that I thought Superbad was the most important comedy of the last like 20 years or so. And somebody said, what about American Pie? I retract my statement because I think American Pie might be right up there with Superbad because American Pie influenced so many movies after that. So many.
Yeah.
American Pie is right up there. Can't forget that. Last question. People want us, or this one person, but I'm sure others would like us to do this, want us to cast ourselves and other podcasts in the podcast cinematic universe. So who are some picks you guys got here?
I'm going to cast Ken Jack as Henry Cavill.
Henry Cavill as Ken Jack?
Yeah, I'm sorry. And then I'm going to cast Mark Ruffalo as Jeff. Is that I can, you know, with the right haircut, I can maybe see it.
I would like that. That's a guy I would like portraying me.
And then for me, I'm going to cast Coach K from Duke.
You don't look like him at all.
People are now going to think Trill's 70 years old.
I think I would do, for Trill, Edward Norton, for Jeff, Jason Segel, because then you get to have easy access to your puppets.
Terrible casting for me. That's an awful cast. He's like got about 5 or 6 inches height-wise on me.
Yeah, I just said it was nothing to do with physical appearance, just so you can touch the puppets.
Henry Cavill's Ken Jack's the only definitive pick.
I like Edward Norton for my like general actor, but for my body double for the sex scenes, I got to go with Michael Fassbender.
Yeah, great call, dude. Any of you guys cast any of our guests?
No, I didn't. I did not cast any of our guests. See, I like casting, and we've talked about this many times. Trust me, whenever we get picked up or go somewhere, one of the first things we'll release is the Trump presidency casting because it came out great. I have to put a lot of thought into these because I really don't like when people cast something that isn't anywhere near it. And I try not to sound like a complete asshole because it's not like a defined skill. You know, if you watch somebody shoot a basketball and you're LeBron James, you can sit there and be like, wow, you suck. But I feel like when you say you suck at casting people or like actors as people, it's a weird thing to say. But I don't like when people say, oh, this person looks like this person. They look nothing alike. So yeah, I got to put a lot of time into these. So no, I did not. Long answer, did not cast any of our guests. But I assume you did, Ken Jack.
Did you cast us, Jeff, before Ken Jack goes into our guests?
I don't want to say who I would cast for you, because you look the green guy from The Mask. Also, Ken Jack is very easily Henry Cavill. It's not even close. There is no second option for Ken Jack. The thing that people forget, too, is that they don't need to be an exact looking replica of the person. Like, have you heard of makeup? You know, people can go on the makeup and look a little different. Look at Kevin Spacey's. Oh, we got to bleep that out. But Kevin Spacey in All the Money in the World, his character was going to be this disgusting makeup puppet looking person, and then end up casting an actual old person. So for when you cast people, you know, you can take into account they don't have to look exactly like them. So those are the Jeff Lowe rules of casting people.
Ken Jack, who did you cast for our guests? Because it sounds like you put some thought into
you really want to throw these out.
I only did a few. Nothing crazy. Matt Damon as Pete Blackburn, Matt Bomer or Boner, whatever his name is, as DJ.
I can promise you the name is not Matt Boner.
It's Bomer, and he's amazing.
Yeah, very I think attractive. He looks like DJ, right?
No.
I don't like the Matt Damon casting for Pete.
That's what he said. That's what he said he wanted to play him.
Yeah, that's who he wanted to play him.
I think Pete's more attractive than Matt Damon. I'm just going to put that out there. Pete's a good-looking dude. And Matt Damon is
younger.
Yeah, but I'm saying, like, maybe the makeup can take care of it. But I don't know. But, you know, here I am hating on your casting picks, and I didn't make a fucking pick.
I know. I just said I wouldn't do this, and I'm doing it, so.
I did thick boy Jesse Plemons as Coley. and I did Craig Robinson as Tyler, only because I love Craig Robinson a lot. Doesn't really look like Tyler at all.
No, yeah, that all-time bad casting.
Yeah, but he's very funny, and I couldn't think of someone funnier to play him. That's like quicker in the same delivery anyway. Chris Hemsworth as James.
Just because he's from Australia?
Yeah, and Millie Bobby Brown as Robbie. I'm sorry, Robbie. That's and Titus, I couldn't think of anyone good for Titus. Like maybe Jack O'Connell from Unbreakable. He's too young.
I did not like that list you just put out there. I'm really sorry, but that was That was a letdown. You got to
make Titus do it. Titus looked like somebody on the last podcast Titus was on. I said he looked like somebody, so I'm having trouble remembering who I said that. I think I'm more of a Javier Bardem role, you know?
You think Javier Bardem should play you?
Yeah, dude, he's so fucking cool. If I could,
cast Will Arnett to play you.
That's a good call.
Yeah, I like that because he's funny and attractive.
You guys have a similar vocal register too, dude. I sound nothing like Henry Cavill. He has such a deep and luscious voice.
He can change it up though. He's got to change up the accent anyways. You don't have a British accent.
I think the most important part is that distinctive butt chin.
I don't have that butt chin. Just don't. You need to have plastic surgery.
Would he take the role of Ken Jack, though? He'd have to grow back the facial hair. I'm not sure he wants to do that anymore.
He would. Cheerio, mate. That's my English accent for you. Henry Cavill.
You fucking want, mate. You want, bro?
So that's all we got this week. Pacific Rim, we're going to be reviewing it next week. And we're also going to be doing... What did I say we were going to be doing? What did Maybe I say China we were going to do this week? Oh, yeah, we're going to do, movie battles. So we're going to pit things up against each other, and we're going to do some debating. Next week, we'll do nostalgia. We'll probably ask for questions again on Sunday. But we're going to be reviewing Pacific Rim this week, talking about some other movies, and then we'll be doing some movie battles. And then next week, we'll review Isle of Dogs, potentially, if it's out, but in the least, Ready Player One. We got to track how many theaters Isle of Dogs is in. Come on, Wes Anderson. All right, everybody. For Ken Jack and Trill Ballins, I'm Jeff Lowe. See Pacific Rim. We're going to be reviewing it later in the week. Have a good week, everybody.
Already. Y'all remember me.
Got together to do this music, the more we became enveloped, we just developed the fellowship through it. It's no pretension, it's friendship, me nemesis, it's soon nemesis. Same for him, it's just me, you see the thing, it's just images. With the shit, it's no gimmicks, it's just blood in and blood out. When it's beef, you just gotta know when to blood.